AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
I know, it really does. Every time. God. Awesome. All right, count me in. We should just pat the table when we go. Wait for it. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 4. Because you want more, ladies and gentlemen. Here, yep. Stop. I just to okay, no problem. What the? No
problem. Oh, that's no a good problem. Idea. No, testing. In five, oh, four, three, two, one.
Ladies and gentlemen, episode 4 of the Nerd Badge Podcast is here. Now, before I get to my very special guest, I have to make an unfortunate announcement. We lost a really good guy. And I mean this in the sense of, as a human being, a father, a brother, a friend, another sense of the word brother in the wrestling world. Our good friend Vince Steele unfortunately passed away. It's been... Obviously, I said this before, we're having problems with the YouTube page, but it's going to be up in the link. I'm going to have this in the screenshot. If you go back to the thumbnail for this episode, I'm going to put the GoFundMe QR code in there. You can scan it. Please, anything you can give would be amazing. Vince was an amazing person. I knew him for at least like 10 years. And I know there's people out there that were way closer friends than I am to him, but he was a really good friend I could joke around with in the locker room. I remember he was one of the first guys that I took a little break because of work. I got a new job, but as most people know, some people don't. He was the one that really welcomed me back to pro wrestling, and he was so happy to see me. He was like, "Oh, I thought you were tired." I was like, no. It's like, I just did that, and now I'm back. And he was like, "Oh, that's great, brother." He's like, "You look good." I was like, "Oh, thanks." You know, and Vince has always been a warm-hearted person. He gave back to so many people that I can't even list because there's not enough time to air it. Vince is one of those people that always gave with two hands and took with half. Because he always wanted people around him to be not just better, which, of course, he always did. He always coached. He always mentored. He always gave advice. But he always wanted to give back to people that were starting after him. And he didn't want to make it seem like he's this larger-than-life person that everyone knew who just kept things to himself. And... yeah, we're going to talk about that later on, too. But I just want to say we did have Anthony Cole from Breed Championship Wrestling. And he was supposed to be my guest tonight. And he obviously, for what happened at his show, he wanted to come on. We talked about it. I told him, like, listen, you don't have to rush. We'll do this another time. I know everything's still fresh for you. This is a lot. You're going through a lot. He was like, yeah. And I kind of like convinced him not to do it today. That was not like my call, but I just wanted him to be here, not in the right frame of mind, but in a good mindset, you know. And I could tell he was still really hurting from this. And when you see something, have something like that, that happens, and again, it was no fault of his whatsoever, not at all. It's just for the experience that he had to go through with that is jarring. And yeah, we'll have Anthony Cole, the owner of BRCW, down here soon. And I've worked with him before in the past, gentlemen across the board. Maybe the next episode, the next one, we're not too sure. Tomorrow, I'm going to put this up right as soon as I get home, where they're going to send it to me right away. We're going to show the episode as quick as possible so that people understand that tomorrow is the funeral. I'm going to have the information halfway through the show. I'm going to post it up. Actually, I can tell you guys right now. It's just that the service here sucks a little bit. So bear with me. Okay, I'm working actually pretty well. So... let me see if I can find everything because I have it here. Damn, where is it? Let me find the episode, the thing I posted. On my phone, here we go. It's going to be at the Ortiz Funeral Home, 2121 Westchester Ave in the Bronx, 10462. So it's going to be Friday, March 28th, and Saturday, March 29th, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. So, again, it's going to be the Ortiz Funeral Home, 2121 Westchester Ave, Bronx, New York, 10462. Tomorrow and Saturday, the 28th and 29th, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. I believe a good turnout, if you're listening to this, and Vince somehow was a part of any time of your life, just watching him as a fan, interacting with him in the locker room, it's going to be a good time just to listen to some great Vince stories. His children will be there, his family will be there, the wrestling community will be there, and it's just a great thing for everyone if you just turned out and paid proper respect to a man that was respectable across the board. All right, so let's get a little bit more somber here. I have a good guest today, someone who jumped in, who wanted to be on the show, and I always have my list of people who want to come on and people who are able to come to Staten Island because where we shoot it, and my good friend, DJ, he DJed my wedding, actually, which is really good, too. Like, he's a professional DJ that, respectable across the board in so many places, in clubs and weddings, and he used to DJ down at Wynwood. He used to do the main parties there, the theme parties. He's all over the island. He's if you listen to good music, it was probably him. Ladies and gentlemen, my good friend Andre Jones.
Thank you, Mike, for having me.
Thanks for coming today, bro. Literally, like, I mean, I told you I always wanted to have you on, and I wish it was under better circumstances where I can have you here with, like, everybody, with Susie and everyone. Oh, also, congratulations to our good friend, RJ. I just want to point it out. They had the baby. Beautiful baby boy. I'm going to put up a picture. This child is adorable. Look at this smile on this kid. Oh, my God. It is so beautiful. I want to get the exact spelling of the name right, so before I say anything bad, because Bree will kill me.
Oh, Lord.
Bree will murder me if I say this wrong. Matthew Cade Soto, born 3/24/2025, 9:55 in the morning, 7 pounds, 11 ounces, 20.5 inches. That's a big baby.
Hey.
Mom and dad and the baby are doing fantastic. If you reach out to RJ, he is doing well too. He's just so happy right now. You can see by the picture of the baby that I put up, they are just having so much fun. Like that baby is, oh, that's a lucky baby right there. That's a good baby. That baby's gonna have a good life.
Good energy around him.
Yep. So let's get into some things real quick. Now, obviously, we talk about, like, I know you're a DJ and everything like that, so I want to talk. What made you, like, really pick up the turntables? Like, you've been DJing for how long now?
Professionally, this will be 15 years.
15 years. Nice. What was before professional? Like, was it, like, I did? Like, did you do parties? Did you do, like, little gatherings and stuff like that?
Well, before all of that, I played instruments.
Nice.
The DJ thing was my dad.
I know you play instruments, so run down for the people what you play.
Trumpet, trombone, bass guitar, baritone horn, various different forms of drums. Like,
I know you play drums, bands. Yeah.
And I did play tenor and alto sax, but wasn't good at it. But yeah, I started out playing instruments. And even when I was younger, I always listened to music. My dad used to get white label records from his record pool in different studios in Brooklyn and Manhattan.
Nice.
I own some of them now.
So tell me, what was like, give me some music that you grew up listening to. Because like I always say, this whole entire show is about how everyone has like a badge of honor of things that they're like passionate about. Like something like, I know you could talk about music for hours. Oh, I know that for a fact. Give me something that like was, this makes me want to be a DJ. Like give me something, a music genre or something that like you saw this for the first time. You experienced a set, like a talking, you were talking to somebody and like, I need to get me some turntables.
Honestly, I have to say, listening to my dad play like old Calypso records and like old soca music and reggae. Nice. When I was younger, I used to not know, but pretty much when I realized that the girls liked it, I was all in.
That's all things. Nah. Girls. Motivation. That's all it takes, man.
Yeah, sometimes.
So tell me, what was the first time that you got the equipment, right? You got it in your hands, and you're like, this is it. I'm going to do my first. Well, actually, give me that story. How did you get your first turntables?
I had to go get them on my own. Actually, I wound up having like the digital controller joints at first.
Yeah.
That's how I started, and it was very strange because the first job I ever got was Joe Lupo had us do one of his famous underground parties, coincidentally, at World of Wrestling.
World of Wrestling, yep.
Those it was me, Phil, Matt, and Corey, and of course, Darrow was
Darrow's always there. Hi, Darrow. Wave hi to Darrow. Hi, Darrow.
That was the first time I really, like, did that. And I'm going to be honest, my dad was right. I was not prepared.
No one is.
Nope.
No one is. And I say this too, like when I first started DJing, I was over in Germany and I did it very lightly. Like, you know, there was like a guy who was leaving in a different building and he was like, hey, listen, I do the music here sometimes. You want to do it? I was like, okay. And I picked it up and I didn't know what I was doing. He showed me a little bit, you know, but that first time, like you really get up there. And it was like, you're not getting an introduction. You're not in front of, like, people you don't know. So they're already, like, vibing or anything. It's like people that you know. Every single time I've ever talked to somebody about this, they always say, yeah, it was someone I know. So, like, you're doing, like, a family gathering or a group of people. You just, you know, like people just getting drunk in a backyard or something. Like, yo, let me just try this real quick. And everyone's always an experiment, you know? Like, you're trying to find that way of, like, all right, how am I going to start this? I'm like, oh, okay, and I'll just unplug this, and now the music's dead, and now, all right, I'll go into it, and I'll start playing music, and you're not trying to, like, blend too much, you know? You're like, let me just play songs that I like. You go with the music that you love first, you know?
Yeah, that has bit me in the behind so many times. But it was a lot of trial and error. And
yeah.
I have to shout out Stat 10 Productions, Ravi.
Stat 10. Ravi.
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 Big Andre. Yeah. Yep. We have Big Andre. Andre Sorello.
Yep.
I had to thank them because he helped guide me a little better than my dad, which was, if it's not perfect, you can't do it.
Exactly.
I don't like it.
And that's the thing. It's like sometimes, even for me, like I was my own big critic, you know? Like, so I was sitting here like, bro, I got to be better. I have to be like, everything has to be perfect. If it's not perfect, everyone's going to hate me, and then I'm going to die alone. No one's ever going to want to listen to music again. I'm going to ruin the whole world, you know? And then you realize it's like, bro, it's okay. Just play music, you know? Play what you think people will like. They're the canvas. You're the brush. Just paint.
Yes.
And then do what you like. Play what you like. If you're going to think of a genre, keep it to the genre. You know, like that's what I always learned. Like keep it in a genre. Just don't jump back and forth. And I was like, all right, cool. And he was teaching me all this stuff. And it was so cool. What's it called? So tell me, the first paid gig. Where was it? How long ago? What'd you do?
Oh, Lord. First paid gig ever was... Actually, shoot, that was... No, first actual paid gig, it was a small birthday party for the people at my church.
Oh, nice.
One of the members of the church. They're like, we need a cheap DJ. I'm just starting out and kind of getting the hang of it. And I went for it. I still wasn't ready for it, but they said it was good enough.
Exactly.
And if I were to look at that playlist right now, I'd probably kick myself at least 5 times over.
Yeah, because like you're not into the ins and outs of it yet. You know what I mean? Like you don't know. All right, how long should I play this genre for? How should I let the song run to the more famous part? Should I let it go past the hook? You know, like that type of stuff. Like, should I try blending something? Should I drop down to acapellas? Like, cause I know you started with vinyl too, right? You started electronic.
I started on CDs and electronics.
Yes. Yeah, I know you started with, I'm sorry, electronics and like CDs. Like I started on vinyl. So it was like vinyl, you had to know where everything was at that exact moment. You couldn't just like go back. You had to like at least find something. We used like crayons and stuff like that.
Hey, my dad told me that.
Yeah, crayons were the best thing in the world because it was just like, and then you're good. You know, you touch it up every here and again, you know, like nothing serious, you know, just a mixer. That's it. Got it back and forth. Found out what the song is. Drop it in here. Boom, 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 boom. Done. And that was the fun part. So with like electronics, I feel like I never really did that myself because I was like, this is, you gave me some stuff. Like actually for a while, I was talking about maybe starting to back going to DJing and I got my hands on stuff. And then I realized I don't have the time to learn how to use this stuff. Cause I could have YouTubed it, but I want to like mess around with it first and then blah, 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 blah. But I was like, I got to buy the equipment. And that's the thing. I was like, I used online stuff for a little bit to try and like do it. I was like, I need to buy real equipment. And then it was like, I got to commit to that. And then I got work. And then I got my girlfriend, my wife. Love you, Gab.
Hey.
Friend of the show. also the other person at my wedding that you DJed for. Very lovely. Thank you for that skywriting thing that you did on the roof, bro. That was sick. So tell me, Stat 10 Productions.
Yes.
How long have you been working with them? How long have they been around? Which, by the way, they are a great place to get your wedding done. They are absolutely amazing. They are very professional, great floor movers, great DJ. Great. I mean, I'm not to pat myself on the back, you know. Ravy does great MC work. The whole team is just amazing.
Man, that's honestly the writing for the record books for me because. Not only was that wedding almost like a high school reunion, but yeah, that was the craziest part. But it was
cute bride too.
Beautiful at
the wedding.
That was the first wedding that I was literally handed the keys, and even yep. Ravi stepped back. He's like,
yep.
"Hey,
yep,
you got it." I was like, "I got it," and I had it. I believe I had it.
That's good. That's good. I mean, you did a great job, man. I mean, I'm not just saying it for lip service or anything like that, trying to, you know, say, hire Stat 10 Production. But it's,
yeah, but
you guys did an amazing job. Like, people still talk about, like, how good our wedding was. Like, what was it? My niece and nephew came down for, I'm sorry, my two nephews came down for a little bit. They came down for a little bit because they had to go back to Pennsylvania. And they were like, we wish you could have stayed because the music was so much fun. Like, we were out dancing and everyone was dancing all night. And it wasn't like a dull moment. Like, you had to dull it down. You know, you got to drop it down so people to go get the food. And yeah. Da, 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 da. Like, all the songs were in perfect order. There was no issues with anything. You guys were doing stuff for us that we didn't think we were even gonna get from you guys. Like, you guys just dropped surprises on us. So
that's the best part about this business. We've got what I believe now it's about 7 years in.
Yeah,
and I started with when Ravi finally said enough. I want to have my own. I have all the equipment.
Yep.
And we started off small. We had a group, and the group we have shuffled out members. But shout out to everybody who's worked with us. But we're starting to make better moves now, especially with social media promo. Yep. Got to shout out his girlfriend Jordan. She took to it so quick.
That's awesome. Okay. That's awesome when you have somebody that can just really like click into all this stuff. Because when sometimes people they like bringing in friends and family and like your significant other, and sometimes that doesn't blend well. But when you find somebody, like I'm lucky enough to say, I'm not bragging or anything like that, I swear to God, but I'm lucky enough that my wife understands wrestling now when she had no clue what it was, and she wanted to learn about it. So when you find somebody that goes, I love you so much
that I want to learn what exactly. You do, that is the best thing.
Oh, that is fantastic. Because now it's not like they have a thirst for something new and they want to help you at the same time. And that's beautiful. And you can coach them with the experience that you guys have.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure she's just like a perfect add in. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like water and water. Perfect.
Yep.
Yeah. So, let's see. I know you guys do weddings. Do you guys do any more? I know you, like since Wynwood kind of went south, like, has there been any other, like big DJ events you've been doing or anything like that?
Well, we still do weddings, sweet 16s, communion. Well, it's communion season now. I'm about to start crying. Well, but but for me, my next big thing that I have planned right now is April 25th. I'm doing an event at Four Willow.
Oh, where's that?
It's actually right across the street from the Speedway gas station on Bay Street.
Okay, that's why. Okay,
event space.
Yeah.
Shout out to Fatih and shout out to FMR. They're going to see this.
We'll put the socials up here. I mean, I can't even put this up anywhere. I'm going to start putting them up again. Exactly. Yeah, but like we'll just give them the shout out on the socials.
Damn right, I'm going to have it.
Yeah, I can't right now because the YouTube page is screwed up right now. I can't log into the actual Nerd Badge YouTube page. It's up and running from like last season, but I have like three other episodes I'm waiting to drop. I'm just going to put them on my regular page. So this will be up. It'll be up right here, the information right here. So
there you go, right there. That's probably
smooth. Yeah, so so that's going to be fun. When is it again? April
25th.
Oh, I'm not going to be here for that. I'm going to be on Long Island.
That's okay. Ugh. I'll make sure there's video.
Good. So I know a lot of people are listening to this right now and going like, you said Wynwood, right? It's like, yes, I did say Wynwood. Thank you so much for listening, Jessica. So tell me, what was it like? Because those theme parties were fantastic. Those things were crazy at
times. Believe it or not, I wasn't the one who was really doing the theme parties. It was Nero.
Yeah, I know Nero was too, but there were times that you were there doing the theme parties.
Yeah, it was.
You guys did most of them. I remember the ones that we went to, you were always there. So there were sometimes we skipped and we're like, well, I guess Nero was doing them. Shout out to Nero, great DJ, by the way. Yeah. So, but,
man, I got it by accident. Really? Actually, I have to shout out Darrow, because
friend of the show.
Yeah. He convinced Wally and Carmine to take a chance with me to do his birthday party there.
Oh, that's right. That was the first one, right? Yeah.
Something happened with the DJ that they had that was doing the brunches, and Carmine's brother at the time, I believe that was Joey, he calls me directly. He's like, listen, need you help. If you're available. And that's how it started. I didn't see it coming either, to be honest. I didn't know that I would be able to hold that consistent. When it was good, it was good.
Yeah.
I held that for a good few months.
And listen, I feel like that's like a kind of like a niche thing, because like if you didn't know about the Wynwood parties, those Wynwood parties were fantastic. They were fun. My wife got drunk as hell at those things. I had to carry it over my shoulder like a burlap sack, but she woke up the next day going, I thought it was fun. It was great. Shout out to my love, Gabby, who was making those throw up impersonations, too. Getting drunk, like, I feel like I'm just having such a great time. I want some more shrimp.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my wife was so... Those things were so much fun. They were so... Like, man, that was, like, one of the few things, like, in the past, like... I mean, some people don't know this, but, like, not COVID, but, like, Wynwood actually almost didn't open because there was that water main break that happened.
Oh, yeah, man.
That was crazy, because I think I responded to it. I didn't respond to it. My friend did. He was telling me, he was like, yo, this whole thing happened on Wynwood. And then he showed me the Instagram video, and it was just water pouring from the ceilings. We're like, well, that's gone. That's it. Rest in peace.
And Carmine got it together.
Bootstraps up, dude. Boom. Yep. Lifting themselves up, grabbed it. And I thought it was never coming back. And then, lo and behold, he opened up, and the place took off. It was like the Sunday brunch spot that you could absolutely go to and have a great sense of food. Like, and now he has
Marbella's.
He has on by my job by Buell and Richmond Road, Cantina Valencia.
That man is the king of rebrand. Yep. I gotta give him that one.
Yep, and that place is always great. For I always say personally, go for the bowls. They're really good there. Whenever we eat dinner there, like we order out. Those burrito bowls, whatever they call them, they're absolutely fantastic. They will fill you up, and they are just delicious. I love them myself, personally. Free advertising, Carmine, you're welcome. There you go. So let's get into some more fun stuff. I want to talk about something I got recently, and I'm really, because this is obviously the Nerd Badge podcast. This is some nerdy-ass stuff that I have here.
Let's do it.
I can't curse, because obviously, you know, like, we don't curse or do anything bad here. This is a tap ring, okay? So this is what you do, right? You grab someone's phone, and you just go tap, and it pops up, and it shows you your whatever link you want to put into this, right? You have to download an app, and then you use that app to go, I'm going to write information on this ring, and then you give it to them, and you go, hey, give me your phone, and you tap it, and it It's like a those tap card things that you see like people have. Yeah. I have one of those too. But then I saw the ring. I saw it like 7 months ago. I never got it. And then I was like, oh, it's on sale. I was like, all right, cool. Let me get one. And then it came up on sale. I was like, bet, bank. And I've been using this thing left and right, man. It is gold. Like gold. Because I don't feel like reaching into my wallet. I got to take it out and stuff like that.
I got it.
Yeah, no, I got to fix my shoes. Screw you, Brutus the Barber Beefcake. I want to put that out there again. I haven't talked about this in a while. Yes. Okay. I'm not allowed to grow hair, which I am, by the way. I'm growing hair. Haha. But I have to shave. I have to have it shaved before I go on matches. And I want to point this out, too. A couple other shout-outs real quick. SWA, April 28th. I'm sorry, April 25th, the day of your show, unfortunately. That's why I won't be there. It's going to be Fool Me Three Times. A lot of great matches. I'm going to put up the stuff here like I always do, right here. I want you to understand something. Just want you to get right here. I want you to get right here. Santana Fury. I despise the air that you breathe because it gives you nutrition. And it gives you oxygen. And I want you to understand that I do not like you as a person. You're my former tag team partner, and I hate you. I hate you so much because you think you have this like sense of accomplishment since you won the Adrenaline Championship. And I want to let you know this right now. I hate you. I hope you think this is over. You think I'm the rearview mirror. I'm not. Just like in a horror movie, you see the guy standing in the road behind you. You think you're safe. Boom. I'm right in front of you. And you're not going to know when. You don't know where. But I'm going to find you. And it's going to be maybe on April 25th. Who knows? Maybe later. But I have to let you know. I'm not done with you by a long shot. This is not done. It's over when I say it's over. Anything else is a lie. Or it's a false sense of security that you're giving yourself. So you and your little buddy, Jack, you guys have fun. You will be seeing me soon in person. That's all I got to say about that.
That's how you cut a promo.
That's a promo, baby.
That's how you cut
a promo, baby. Yeah, wrestling's so much fun, dude. I love it.
I watched it as a kid. I feel bad falling out from it.
Dude, it's so easy to fall out of it. That's the thing. Like, when things kind of go stale, like, you know, people leave, people come in, it's hard to keep up. Life, like, I always say, like, you know, wrestling as a kid is so easy to watch because, like, you go to school, you come home, and it's just that. You're at home. You're not going out partying at 1 o'clock in the morning or anything like that. And plus, it's in your pocket, too. So it's like there is that disconnect, you know? But wrestling has been so great as of late. I mean, I know you probably saw this, too. We're going to talk about this. The John Cena heel turn.
Man, I saw a couple of the videos. Ooh. I was sitting there like, well, I will actually watch that. I think I really want to watch that one. That's going to be the one I want to watch.
John Cena went from make a wish to I wish a bitch would. Bro, now here's the thing. I said, I have my predictions about everything, and I said, I don't think they're doing it at the right time. It's before WrestleMania. How invested are people going to be knowing that this is his last year? Should this have happened like 7-8 years ago? Absolutely. That's what I think. But at the same time, John Cena, Make-A-Wish Foundation kids, I get it. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep the kids happy. It's merchandise, everything. I totally get it. But I'm just saying it right now. It's like you're putting gas in the car after you already crashed it. You know what I mean? It's like, this is the end of the road, bro. Like, you know, you're taking the car to, you're taking the, what's it called? It's got like a quarter of a tank in. Not saying John Cena is out of shape or anything like that, and far from it. He's a fantastic athlete and everything. But I'm just saying that his career strength level, you're returning the rent, not the rent a car, but like you're trading in the car, and it's on quarter of a tank, and you're gonna fill it up and get an oil change and fill up all the and change the tires and all this other stuff. Why? You're taking it back. It's done. You know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like this should have happened way earlier. I feel like, I hate saying it, that everyone's I'm going to get murdered for this.
Oh, this ought to be good.
But I say this, the promo that he cut, it was exactly what it needed to be, but it could have been better. And again, I'm not on television. I'm not freaking somebody who knows it all or anything like that. I just feel like there was a gap that was not filled with what he said. Now, he said the whole thing's like, I know you better than you know yourself. I know this. And the thing with the kid, perfect. Everything he said at the last, like, 30 to 40 seconds of that promo were exactly what he needed to say. That's exactly, everything else was just like, I'm not going to say pre-written, but if it wasn't written for him, he overthought it. Plain and simple. He just, I feel like to me, for me, I would, I'm not saying I would have, but I'm saying in general, I would have went with, I'm going to ruin this for you. You ruined this for me. You chanted my name. You made me a meme. You did all this stuff to embarrass me. So I'm going to embarrass you by taking what you love. I'm going to take this belt and I'm going to walk out of this company with it, which they did with CM Punk anyway. I'd like to point that out. So I feel like this is kind of a regurgitated thing when his contract was up and he sat there and said, hey, listen, I'm walking out of here as a champion. And he won the title, which I think we're going to go down that line again. Sorry. But anyway, hey. I see the repeat happening again. I'm like, same salad, different dressing, bro. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I just see it happening. He's going to sit there. I'm not going to say he's going to go through the crowd, but he's going to walk up the ramp. He's going to beat Cody at WrestleMania. I got the belt. And then the rest of the time, it's going to be him fighting everybody. I think maybe Cody gets injured. It gives Cody a reason not to get his, what's it called, back? His rematch right away. And then maybe Survivor Series or maybe like the last Monday Night Raw before, you know, the new year where his contract is up and like he can't wrestle anymore. He's going to retire. His last match, Cody wins, takes the belt back. But in between hand, he just beats all these people that think they're going to be the future of the company. And he's going to go down as the greatest champion. Because now if he wins, he's the 17-time world champion, which means he beats Ric Flair's record. So if he goes out and beats all these people and goes, I'm better than everybody, blah, 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 there's no reason to feel bad for these guys losing. They don't look bad by losing to John Cena. John Cena, I'm the best version of me with this belt. And then he comes out with the spinner belt again, which everybody hates. And he said, oh, everyone hates this belt and blah, 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 blah. That's how I would have delivered. I'm not saying I would say to really get underneath people's skin. Give them that. Give them, I'm going to walk out of here as champion. Maybe they didn't want to mimic the CM Punk thing, but they're still doing it in a different way. That's just me saying.
It sounds like it might actually work if Cena does.
Yeah, so if he's going to be Cody, because now it also gives a sense, who's the one guy who beat everybody, every time, everywhere? Cena. Cena beat Big Show. Cena beat Shawn. Cena beat Triple H. Cena beat Del Rio. Cena beat everybody. Like, there's very few people that, Orton, he beat the crap out of Orton all the time for the title. But the whole problem is that who could beat Cody? Roman's off doing the thing with Seth and CM Punk. They're going to sit there. I think that's just going to be a super number one contenders match. And then whoever winds up wrestling against them, he wrestles against each one of those guys at different pay-per-views. Now that gives them a little bit of steam to go after John Cena. John Cena beat all those guys already.
Yep.
Roman beat Cena before. So maybe that could be like a little, I'm gonna be the best version of myself and beat you. I am the best wrestler in the world. I'm the best wrestler in history. I have the most titles. You know what I mean? Like, Ric Flair held the title. That's, you could just have him just beat everybody. And then you could have someone else run in and do the continuation story. Okay, now he lost because of this. Or Cena cheats and blah, 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 blah. Cena, you know, all that good stuff that he was able to dig down deep and beat and never give up and everything. He's like, instead of being, I'll never give up. He was like, I will never give up on myself. Hey. I am never going to let this go. You can't see me. You can't beat me. He goes out on top. And then right beforehand, Cody comes back. Maybe Money in the Bank. Maybe Money in the... Someone told me, my friend good Mike Shiva, who usually sits in one of these chairs right here. What he does is he said something really funny, too. He couldn't make it today. He said, what if someone wins Money in the Bank, holds on to it, and then at the last time before, like Cena beats... Cody Rhodes, but before that, like, there's a backstage segment, like, hey, anybody see my briefcase anywhere? And then all of a sudden, Ric Flair comes out, beats up freaking, what's it called, Cena, and then, I guess, beats him, but it'd be a tie. That's what I told him. I was like, it's good, but he would then tie Cena for the longest championship reigns, wins. So, I mean, that's just me speaking out of my ass. I like to spitball sometimes, like, my little nerd brain kicks into gear sometimes.
It sometimes, you know? It happens.
Yeah. So that's my little theory on John Cena's little heel turn. I know I promised to watch Daredevil, which I haven't. I feel so bad.
Neither have I.
I know, dude. I feel so bad. It looks so goddamn good. But I've been literally staying away from it. I was like, everyone tells me, oh, bro, you see what happened on Daredevil? No. Shut your mouth. All right? Go walk into a different room and talk to yourself. I don't care. I don't want to hear about it. All right? Keep your mouth shut. Keep it inside your brain. I don't want to hear it. I love Daredevil. He's... Oh, so I know the story that they're doing. They're doing the Born Again storyline, which is the name of the show. You know, Daredevil Born Again, because it's such a great story. I don't want to spoil for anybody who hasn't watched it, like me, because I'm so far behind. Other things I want to talk about. We're going to go deep into theories on this episode. We did a little bit of wrestling. I promised, I was told I need to do more wrestling on this, and I keep my word. There you go. Like, that was like about maybe like 25 minutes of wrestling, by the way. Or actually, no, we're 25 minutes in. That's about maybe 10 minutes as I do my awkward movements that you can't see because this is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everything else and Pandora and Amazon Music and Apple Podcasts, you know?
I mean, I said I'm everywhere.
I'm everywhere, baby. The shit's all over the toilet. So I want to say also that I've always been a big Marvel fan. And did you see the trailer or the teaser of all the names on the chairs for the people that came out?
Yeah, I almost fainted.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, the one that got me, Kelsey Grammer. I couldn't care less.
I cannot believe it, man.
I love the fact they got Kelsey Grammer back because he's beast incarnate.
He was good.
I mean, I'm no pun intended, but like no pun intended, he's beast incarnate. So when he came out and they did the whole chair thing, I mean, one thing I noticed, and it kind of got me a little bit of not upset, but like, oh man, they're really pulling the plug on this, the Eternals, but they could be pop ups. You know what I mean?
Who knows?
Yeah, they could be pop-ups. So I feel like there could be people who are going to pop up in the movie for, like, little cameos, whatever. We might see, like, you know, what's it called? Icarus just fly down really quick and, like, join the fight or something like that. This is going to be the giant CGI fight that we got in Endgame eventually. We're going to lead to that one big thing all over again, you know?
But, dude, I don't know, man. All right. This is going to be the one... I think this will be the movie that's going to redeem them because
he has some misses. And the thing is this. I say this. It kind of sucked because COVID. I'm not going to blame COVID on everything. COVID wasn't the main thing. There was a lot of sloppy writing. And I say sloppy writing as in, like, they tried reaching again. They had the Guardian Syndrome, I called it. The Guardian Syndrome is this. Guardians of the Galaxy, nobody who knew who they were. I know who they were because I love the comics. Like, I love the old school comics that they had. And it was just great stuff, right? But the problem is this. They were like, this is a hit. We can take more obscure stuff and make it a hit too. And it didn't happen because that was the first time you really had an obscure, nobody knows these people with a great presence. They took Star Wars and put it together. That's what they did. They just took Star Wars and meshed it in. The giant CGI fighter fight, the spaceship fights.
Oh, man.
Oh, dude, especially that was sick.
Part two.
Especially one was like the best one out of all of them because it was fresh introduction of all the characters, and I felt like people really clicked with it. One reason why, the soundtrack.
Soundtrack was epic. I still have it.
Epic. And I mean that because now you had things of... you had people who sat there and said, these people no one cared about, and then you started to. They were just, like, you saw their plight from the beginning. Peter with his mom, Rocket with the surgery, and that's a big thing in the comics, too. Like, they went into that, which three.
Wasn't expecting it to be as dark as it was.
Traumatized me. I was like, when they killed all the other ones, I was like, oh, they're going to kill everyone. I was like, nah, it's Disney. They're not going to do it.
They did it.
Oh, my God. Oh, they're all dead. Oh, they showed it. You know, and that actually happens in the comics. But, there was a lot of stuff that happened in Guardians that made people want to see more of them. They're like, yo, this guy tracks. You know, oh, the Gamora, Peter, this story. Groot, Rocket. Friendship story, buddy cop stuff. I love buddy criminal stuff. Absolutely. Two, they went and they changed one of my favorite stories. They should have just made it the Spartan X race and have his dad, not Ego. You could have had him on Ego or something like that. Just have it as a thing. But it was a good story. I liked it. I really did. Peter snapping out of it and everything like that. Three, with the high evolutionary. Again, that's another story that they could have done differently. It's just different, you know? So I was like, all right, cool. But when they started doing Echo, I'm sorry. Once Secret Invasion, and if you guys want to read comics, go to your local comic book store and just go pick this stuff up. It's all in what's it called? It's beautiful writing, beautiful illustration, and watch it compared to read it compared to the story to the show. The show was an embarrassment. I'm sorry.
Was that bad? Because I didn't watch
dude,
it.
Dude, and someone told me, pass on this. I don't know what happened backstage. I'm not that guy, you know, but I'll say this. I don't think a single person who made that show watched that, read the comic, because it was complete trash. It was garbage. It was just, oh, I felt like they were just trying to like hint off the story, because I'm sitting there like, all right, the only thing that they did right was that Rhodey was, they did the whole, you know, this person's a Skrull, that person's not a Skrull, who's a Skrull, who is, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they hit on it so minorly. Like, there are heroes that were like 5 years in captivity underneath the Skrulls. And it was, dude, it's crazy story. Like, but like, it, like, Echo was one of the people to first be the icebreaker for the story, because what happens is she gets into it with Elektra and she stabs Elektra with her own side, which is reminiscent of Bullseye, who kills Elektra, and everyone's like, oh my god, she just killed her. And then guess what happens? She turns into a Skrull, and that's what starts it. And everyone's like,
wait a minute,
what? Like, dude. And Matt's like, I knew her. Like, Wolverine, like, they put a new technology. Wolverine's like, I couldn't smell her. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy what happens. Like, absolutely bat crazy, dude. And I'm being so serious. Like, it's such a great story. And they just, I felt like they didn't even try to keep it. And then they brought in, what's her name, from Game of Thrones. And she was like, oh, I'm mixed with DNA and blah, blah, blah. And they brought in Talos, who I was like, who, I don't remember Talos in the comics. I think it was just made up for the show. But even still, it's like just a horrible, generic story. Nick Fury was in it. They could have done a lot more with him. They could have made him Wolverine, because Wolverine starts, like, you know, they're trying to figure out what's going on. Captain America also part of it. And in Civil War, he gets shot after he turns himself in to end Civil War. Because remember in Civil War where, like, Kim and Tony just kind of split after, what's it called? It's like, that's not what happens. He goes, all right, people are dying, I got to stop this. He goes to turn himself in. Crossbones, his arch nemesis from the comics, who's still alive. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was Sharon Carter, who was brainwashed by Bullseye, shoots him, and then he dies, and then he turns into a Skrull. And everyone's like, Captain America was a Skrull? You know?
The first thing, all you can think of is
war. Yeah. Okay. So now, right, I feel like Secret Wars is the perfect time to just wipe the slate clean. Because in Secret Wars, I hate to spoil, I don't want to spoil this, but, I mean, basically, everything funnels into one thing at the end of Secret Wars. And that's how we get Miles Morales from the Ultimate Universe into the common 616 universe in the comics. I'll say that in the comics. This isn't a spoiler for the thing, but it's this is what happens in the comics. Miles Morales and Peter Parker become friends. Because he's like, wait, where the hell did you come from? He's like, my world kind of got mixed with yours, you know? So it's a big thing that happens. And I see a lot of stuff just going, bye. That's it. Immortal, Eternals, bye. I see Echo, bye. I see a lot of stuff. Like Captain with the Soldier, that's still going to be there. There's just too much stuff to keep right now, and you could just flush it all away. Miss Marvel, change her around, make her back into a mutant. The whole Indian bracelet thing, I don't know, get rid of that story. There's that you can reset stuff, go back to like a new Tony Stark. They could just have like a guy come out and he goes, I'm Iron Man, and then that just ends Secret Invasion. That's it. Perfect. Now we know exactly where we're at. This guy's gonna be Tony Stark.
Brings it back to the beginning exactly. Of the MCU.
So Secret War. Doom.
Doomsday.
So here is my theory. And again, ladies and gentlemen, this is just me make-believing in things that are going on in my head. And this is what I think is going to happen. One, I think I saw a thing that said, what's his name, who got fired as Kang, is coming. Jonathan Majors is going to have like some sort of thing in it. And I think they're going to kill him off. So in this, I think Doom is going around taking some sort of technology from different worlds, and he's trying to do something. Because in the comics, he does a thing where there's this character called Molecule Man who literally has the control over matter, but he's a little messed up in the head, like he's a little miswired. So Doom tells him to kill all the gods of the world, and he does that. So now God has all these powers is given to Doom, and Doom becomes like the master of everything. And he makes, what's it called, the Secret Wars. So I think what's going to happen here is that, one, we're gonna have the moment of Doom fighting whatever, and then his mask gets knocked off, and you see Tony's face, and everyone just goes, wait a minute. What the hell? You know what I mean? Like, Tony, you know? So here's what I think is, this is my theory. That Doom, that we're definitely getting, what's it called? The storyline of an infamous Doom. I mean, infamous Iron Man. Basically what happens is that in a different world, Tony and Victor Von Doom are roommates instead of Reed and Victor Von Doom. Awesome. So what happens is that Tony's like outshining Doom way better than Reed Richards. So what does he do? He makes a machine to swap their bodies. Freaky Friday shit, you know? So, so what's going to happen is that they wind up in the comics. Doom goes on to make like Stark Industries, and Tony's like broke poor, like in Doom's body. So Victor Von Doom is broke poor as Tony, and Von Doom is in Tony Stark's body making all these millions of dollar deals and all this other stuff because Tony's reputation. So what happens is that Tony remembers, hey, I'm Tony Stark, screw this. And he starts making his own stuff, and he makes his own company. So they basically get into a fight, and then they basically, like, Doom becomes good because that Tony goes into a coma, and he realizes, oh, snap, I screwed up. So he becomes Iron Man, but he does Iron Man in a good way. Kind of, you ever hear the Superior Iron Man story with Doctor Strange, with Dr. Octopus and Spider-Man? Same concept. They switch bodies and they go, oh, crap, I got to be a good guy now. Because, like, this person is so good that, like,
I'm doing. The world sees it. If any small change, they're going to know something.
Well, not even that. It's also, like, it inspires him to be better. So Doom becomes Iron Man, and he's just, like, a ruthless Iron Man. So what I think is going to happen is that that happens, and then we get the events of Ultron, Age of Ultron.
Oh, God.
So now we have Tony going, like, my tech could have prevented that, and then he switches bodies with Tony. So now that's the part where they go switch, and now Tony's out of the picture. So I think eventually we're going to get Victor Von Doom and Tony Stark's body coming out and going like, hey, I got to put a stop to this. And he comes out as Dr. Doom in Tony Stark. And you know what I mean? So
that'd be funny. There's rumors that Tom Cruise was supposed to be Superior Stark.
Iron Man, yeah.
It would be funny.
If he does that.
That'd be hilarious.
That'd be hilarious. Because Superior Iron Man, I think they did hint towards it because I don't know, maybe they didn't have I'm gonna say it was a rights issue, but maybe it was the like Tom Cruise could not the rights, but the ability to get Tom Cruise in there. I don't think they had Tom Cruise get into the studio. I think that was the issue.
Probably couldn't get him.
Yeah, probably couldn't get him in. Again, speculation, I don't know anything. I'm an idiot. So so I think that's what happened, and now they had Superior Iron Man washed out, but they had the Ultron bot, the Iron Man bots.
Yeah, they had
a bot. And that's from that era. And I was like, that's from that comic. And I was like, he has like the brain control over all of them. So he takes extremist armor and he does that. And then he has like mind control over all these robots, which is, it's an insane story. Read that, please, dear God. What's it called? So, so I think that's what's going to happen. And there's my far out. I don't know if this is going to happen, but this would be a good story. Ready? Everyone sit down. Relax. Put your feet up. I'm going to tell you a story. Victor Von Doom and Tony Stark, college friends together. They working in a lab. Tony Stark outshines Victor Von Doom, just like I said before. Victor Von Doom knows. Everyone knows. Him and Reed Richards do not get along because Reed Richards is smarter, and Victor Von Doom's ego is the worst thing against him. So what does Victor Von Doom do? He tricks Tony Stark into trying out a machine. The machine switches their bodies. He puts Tony Stark in stasis in his own body. Now he's walking around with Tony Stark's body. Victor Von Doom becomes Iron Man. He is completely, he's in Tony Stark's body, but no one knows. So the whole entire time, let's fast forward here a little bit. Actually, let's reinvert this a little bit. Let's fix the story. So they don't do the body switch, right? They end up going different ways. Victor Von Doom goes back to Liberia, sits in his castle. He doesn't really become Doom, but he comes to essence of Doom, the evil person trying to he was beaten by Tony. Now imagine like the barf technology in Iron Man and Spider-Man No Way Home, where Mysterio was like, that was my tech, right? What if that was Victor Von Doom? Instead of Quentin Beck. So now he's just pissed. He's waiting for his opportunity to strike. best opportunity to strike. Tony Stark is a frail, beaten down man. Just got back from space. He sneaks into Avenger Tower, puts the device on Tony Stark's head. Tony Stark's mind switches with his. His Doombots take the body back, Victor Von Doom's body with Tony Stark inside of it, back to Liberia, puts him in stasis, completely locked out. Victor Von Doom is inside Iron Man's body for Endgame and Secret Wars. Sick. So now, that's why Tony doesn't want to do anything with anybody. He just wants to grow old, grow his family, and that's it. But what happens is ego gets the better of him.
Isn't this time heist? This ego work all of a sudden. And he's sitting there tinkering.
Exactly. He didn't tell anybody because he's starting to realize like a little bit of Tony's still in there. His ability to conquest, if you will, to just keep going and be better and prove people wrong. It can't be done. That's Victor Von Doom's MO to me. So he goes, all right, let's do it. So what happens next? He realizes this Tony Stark was a hero. He can save the world. And he can live with that gratitude put towards him. Because if he tries doing his Victor Von Doom, people are going to hate him because he's an evil person. So now, Victor Von Doom, he dies in Tony Stark's body. What happens after everything? Say maybe there's like some sort of connection between him and the stasis lock or Liberia. Something happens. Liberia starts falling apart without its leader. Tony's in the body of Victor Von Doom, stuck. Victor Von Doom is now. Let me put this on this. I got a better way of saying it. Pause, right? Events of Doomsday happen. Tony Stark in the other dimension, that's where they do the college switch, right? So what happens now if that Tony Stark comes to our Earth, screws everything up here, tries taking over. Meanwhile, in Liberia, something happens to Doom's castle. Stasis lock unlocked. Tony Stark in Victor Von Doom's body the whole entire time was in that body, locked away, comes out and realizes, I have to do something. He looks at a screen showing all this crazy stuff. That's my face up there. He sees that as the Victor Von Doom that took his body, but that Victor Von Doom that took his body is dead. This is an evil one. So now he sits there and he has Victor Von Doom's technology. He has Victor Von Doom's ability to do stuff. He makes his own suit. Goes to fight at the very end. Victor Von Doom's like, who the hell is this guy? Victor Von Doom knows that face. Tony knows the other face. They get into a fight. Tony switches back. That body goes back into that. Ladies and gentlemen, you now have the MCU version of Dr. Doom and Tony Stark back with no repercussions.
It could work.
It could work. It's crazy. There's a lot there. You might have to listen to this like 3 or 4 times, people. But that's just something I was spitballing earlier today.
That's funny. How about this? Imagine this. Remember when Tony snaps?
Yeah.
I am Iron Man snaps?
Yep.
Imagine in that snap, along with erasing Thanos and all of the Chitauri warriors, yep, and everybody. Along with that, he snapped himself back.
It could happen.
I doubt it, but that would be funny.
Now, here's another theory that I have. What if we go back to the TVA? TVA's still around, right? They all have the Infinity War gems in the, I don't call them stones, screw you. The Infinity gems in the drawers, remember? What if they use that to snap Tony back? Easy little rewrite.
It's almost like they're in position to pull a no harm, no foul.
Exactly. It's not a dream sequence. It's not a computer simulation.
There's only one small problem.
What?
They have to find a way to square the circle with the movies that failed.
Oh, dude, just wipe them off. They just see them just go, dust.
And not for nothing, I hate to say this, some of the shows before COVID,
yeah,
I like Cloak and Dagger.
I
like Cloak and Dagger. Runaways, liked it too.
Runaways was awesome.
I don't think they should let those characters rot.
Yeah, but the thing is that they already rot. Those actors and actresses are already on different stuff. Maybe recast them down the road. Maybe now that you have this trial and error of the first MCU, now you know what worked, what didn't work. Shut the hell up, and now you have all the properties. Do whatever you want.
They could really.
Now you get real Civil War. Now you get like the 50-on-50 battle, you know? Now you get, like, you see what I mean? Because now you have everything. I'm not saying recast Tom Holland. Keep the some stuff, you know, whatever it is. But you can recast everybody else. Tom Holland's still a young kid. You can have him revise the role, you know, just keep doing it. And you can have brand new Avengers, brand new X-Men. And you could have different movies coming out at different times, and you can just do the classics. You don't, you know that now that the Guardians of the Galaxy are characters that people like. It's going to work. So now you can sit there and just go, hey, we're going to start from scratch. We apologize. The COVID, the writer strike, the TV shows, which failed horribly. There were some good shows. WandaVision was one of them, you know. Agreed. You can recast everything over the next 10 years and get another 10-year start all over everything again. And then you put in writers and everything and you get rid of, I'm sorry to say this, you cannot put this agenda writing into something that people want to see. I'm not against putting people in roles and stuff like that, but everyone knows how I said this before on the podcast before, right? Listen, the whole ginger swap thing, Google that, ginger swap, I'm pretty sure that's up there. And I told you this before privately. If you take I said this before on the show too, if you take the letters and rearrange them, ginger.
Yep.
What do they spell? So, if you notice, they were taking redhead characters and making them black, and I felt like it's an insult to black actors and black characters to put them in this role because it was like, screw you, you want to be part of this? This is what we're going to do. Now, I don't care about race swapping. I just, as long as it's done correctly, because
there is one show that did it. That did the ginger swap, and no one hated it, but no one really would remember this. Smallville.
Which one?
The show Smallville?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Which character?
Pete Ross.
Oh, man, that's been a while. Hold on, I gotta think.
Pete Ross was the friend that was always with him, the black kid. That was one of the first times I ever seen that, but at that time in the state of the world, at that moment, no one cared.
No one cared.
It was good writing. Yeah. It was good acting. Yeah. If you're going to, I think this, if you're going to do the race swap thing, don't put it with an agenda. Make sure it's written well.
Yeah.
No one's going to really care unless you put it in our faces to care. Then it's like.
Because I feel like for someone who's mixed, I think it's kind of insulting to me. Like you're just putting me in there to put me in there. You know, like you're not putting the character's depth into anything. And that's why I feel like there are good black characters, there are good Hispanic characters, there are great Asian characters that stand on their own. But when you take a character and you take it away from a group of people, like the Greeks. They tried taking Wonder Woman away because they're originally gonna make Wonder Woman a black person in this movies. And they were like, oh well, we're gonna take, I was like, dude, that's like Greek mythology right there, you know, like that's the people of Greece. And I mean, it's a minority, but at the same time, it's a group of people that go, hey, that belongs to us. You know what I mean? And right. I think that's perfect. I think that's a great. You shouldn't touch something that people believe in. Like Superman, yes, he's an alien. Like I could give a crap what color Superman is, but there are going to be people who are going to go, now you're just changing it to make an all powerful character into something that goes, hey, that's for them. You know, and it's like I hate saying it, but like you can't take and not give. Exactly. And I understand the ocean. I forgot who said this. There was someone who said the theory of like, if I have a whole entire ocean, I'm not going to throw a bucket of water in there and say I helped contribute, you know, but then you can't sit there and say, take a bucket of water out and say, be like, hey, listen, this doesn't matter. You know, it does because you're throwing water on something, you know, so I just think that. It needs to be done the right way, where if you're going to change it, change the character's backstory. That's fine with me. Just don't sit there and say, oh, this person's black now. This person's white now. This person's Asian now.
It's
you're just insulting people. And you're doing more harm than good. Create characters. Yes, you can create characters. I don't care what anybody says. It's hard. There's so many characters out there that people love, and I get that. But, like, you shouldn't be able to sit there and say, that person's now this. Like, I know that they say, like Iceman back in the day, when he came out as, like, bisexual, people were like, oh, well, I was like, yeah, but here's the thing. People come out as bisexual, gay, whatever they want to call themselves all the time. And that's fine. But here's the thing, though. There was Bobby Drake was, like, a womanizer. You know, and again,
I wouldn't have changed that.
I wouldn't have changed that, bro. Like, come on. The dude was like hitting up every single ex woman. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the dude was freaking smashing chicks like a drunk driver, bro. Like, all over the road, dude. All over the road. You point and click, all right? You know? So it was like, theft auto. I was like, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to be gay now. I was like, oh, dude, that's...
Why?
But, like, they did a story where, like, he couldn't find love and he couldn't figure out why. And he was like, oh, I just mistreat women. He went into his soul search into, like, you know, I got to find women, like, not as objects. And I got to treat them better. And that was, like, a great story. He's like, you know, it's like, oh, now he fell in love with Kitty Pryde. And I was like, that's awesome. You know?
Yeah, it works.
So it's just one of those things where... If you're going to cheat people out of something to just say, hey, I gave this group of people something and then not care about that person afterwards, that's where I get mad at. And sorry to make people talk in circles. Yeah.
And not for nothing. That's exactly what's been happening. Yeah. And not for nothing. We've been gaslit into believing that for the last couple of years. Yeah.
So also I want to say something really quick, little thing. There was a gentleman on the Chris Jericho cruise that I got to spend a lot of time with. And he is... an amazing comedian. He is just awesome across the board. Sorry, I had to write my wife real quick. Jay Washington. Bro is funny as hell. He's on Instagram. Mr. Jay Washington. I want to look it up really quick. Hold on, because I got the time. Mr. Jay Washington on Instagram. If you get a chance to follow him, he is absolutely hysterical. His sets killed. On the Jericho cruise. He was telling some amazing jokes. Me and him hung out. Like, I first met him when I did the BRCW show, and he came up to my table, and we talked. There's something about it I couldn't remember. Like, it was in the back of my head. Like, you know how you talk to somebody, like, oh, I think I've had a conversation with this person before, or someone like-minded like them. And I couldn't put my finger on it, so I just kind of blew it off, right? So, me and him, we talked a lot on the cruise. We saw each other all over the cruise, and he... great guy. I gave him a nice hat as something that I like to give people and stuff like that. Because he was just an amazing person. Like, we actually did click a lot. We were talking all the time every time we saw each other. And it's really funny because I go, he said something during one of the sets. And I want to give, your dues, my good friend. He goes, oh, yeah, I was a pro wrestler for 20 years. And he... I can't describe it, what he did, but he did, like, a movement with his body, and it clicked. I shared a locker room one time.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, it was when I was training under Chikara Pro Wrestling, under Mike Quackenbush, and I was doing ring crew for him. He was part of the Soul Snatchers. It's a beautiful three-man tag team, great guys, great workers. And I know he's been saying, like, we were talking and everything. He's like, man, watching all these people, I think I get back in the ring. I saw him not too long ago on Instagram talking about how he wants to get back in shape. Jay, listen, bro, you can do this. I know he had a really bad accident. He retired, but everyone knows you never retire, just like characters never die in comic books. they just run out of ink for a little bit. But yeah, Jay, I hope you're still training. I've been meaning to talk about it on the show forever, and we just get so just emotional when we shoot here. We don't have really like a format or anything like that. We have a couple ideas we want to shoot out, and then that's about it, you know? But I want to give you your props out. Dude, you are an amazing, like, you have so many great followers on Instagram, such great content. You do great stand-up, and I want to say thank you for your friendship on the cruise. Bro, I love you. Anytime you're in here in New York City, definitely let me know, bro, because, I mean, I would love to have you in one of these chairs, because we talked about that. this is your flowers, my good friend. It's way past overdue, and I apologize. So, Dre, shoot the socials. We're going to start getting out of here.
All right. You can find me on Instagram at DJ Andre Jones. I'm also DJ Andre Jones on SoundCloud. I have mixes, different genres and whatnot.
Instagram, Facebook. Say it all, bro.
Facebook, I'm Andre Jones. I mean.
There you go. It's right there.
Shameless promo right here. Shout out to Brandon Alex. He's the one who redesigned my logo.
Nice.
Funny, because I got this special laptop light with my logo on it. My other logo, he sent me this the same day it came. I was like, oh,
there you go.
I'm keeping both, but I like this. This model, believe it or not, if you look at it close enough, he was able to model this after Street Fighter.
Oh, that is, yes.
A little bit.
Nice, I like it. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, episode 4 is in the bank. Ladies and gentlemen, Vince Steele, you are missed every day.
Missed in paradise.
We love you. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we did it.
One.
We did it! Done! Check the gate! We're out! We're going to get some food. I'm starving.
Speaking of which, what are you doing about food?
So like always, I forget everything. So just like everybody else who comes on the show, we always have something very nice. This is going to be added into the ending because I forgot to do it. I apologize. Hey. Ladies and gentlemen, since you're on the show, you get to proudly wear this wherever you go. Your very own nerd badge. Yeah, you only get these from coming into the studio. So
nice.
Yeah, I only get these out to, there's only one other person who never got one for not coming in the studio because he's very busy. But yeah, so dude, love you.
Love you too, bro.
Yep.